Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Beit Salamites. We begin at the Mishnah, which is 10 lines from the top of the Amud. We learned yesterday that just as an individual has to remain within his 2,000 Amot Chum on Shabbos or Yom Tov, likewise, by extension, his possessions, his belongings, will have to remain within that boundary as well. This only applies to something which is tangible, something of a substance. So if you borrow somebody's coal, for instance, a gacheles, you have to ensure that coal remains within the tchum of its owner. But if it's something that doesn't really have substance, ishalahevis, just a flame, that's not considered something tangible, it's not something of substance, and is not bound by the tuchum of its owner. Says the Mishnah, Hagacheles, Kiragli Habalam. One's coal has to remain within the boundary of its owner. Kiragli as the feet, Habalam of its owner. Vishalheves Bechalmak. But somebody's flame, you can take that any way you want. So suppose you took someone's flame and you made an Erev, which allows you to walk 4,000 Amah in the other direction. You can take the flame in that direction, even though the owner of that flame has not made an Erev, which allows him to walk that far. A Shalheves is not bound by its owner's Tchum. Another difference between a Gacheles and Shalheves, Gacheles Shalhegdesh, or Yalimba. If one partakes in a Gacheles of Hegdesh, of the Beis HaMikdash, he has committed Me'ilah, unauthorized use of Hegdish's property. Vishalhevis, but if he's simply partaking in a flame that belongs to Hegdish, that doesn't have substance, although Midirabban, you're not meant to benefit from it, because it might lead to a more tangible type of Hana. But Minatoyer, he has not committed Me'ila, doesn't bring a carbon, it's not something tangible, it's not something to reckon with. A third application to this halacha is Hamoitzi Gacheles. Lishus HaRabim Chayiv. On Shabbos, if one carries a Gacheles from Rishus HaYochad out to the street, he's Chayiv. He took something tangible. He was Moitzi Chayfetz from one Rishus to the other. Vishalheves Pata. But if he just carried a Shalheves into the street, is Pata. Tanu Rabban Chamisha Dvarim Nemer B'Gacheles. In fact, we have five manifestations of this halacha. Five differences between gacheles, a coal, which has substance, which has durability, as opposed to a shalheves, which is something lacking substance and durability. So five halachas. Hagacheles karagli habalim. Number one, regarding tuchumen. A coal is bound by its owner's tuchum. A shalheves b'chal makim, a shalheves can be taken anywhere. Number two, gacheles shalhegdesh mayalimbo. If he enjoys, if he benefits from a gacheles that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, he has committed me'ilah. He has taken something of substance. But if he's just partaking in a flame, although midrabban, he should not do that, but there is no me'ilah committed. Number three, gacheles shalavid azara, asura. One may not have a no'ah from a gacheles that belongs to avid azara. The pasuk says, v'lo yidbak biyodcha me'uma menacher. One is not allowed to have a no'ah from Avodah Zarah's possessions, but when it comes to a flame, that's not something of value. V'shalheves muteres, he could partake in a flame of Avodah Zarah. Number four, Hamoitzi Gacheles l'shus Rabim Chayiv. As we learned in the Mishnah, if he carries a Gacheles into the street on Shabbos, he has committed Hoitzah. V'shalheves Pata. But if he simply carried a flame on its own, a fireball, he's Pata. Number five, Hamudur Hano Mechaveri. Reuven declared that he's going to refrain from having hana, from benefiting from anything of Shimon's. Hamudur hana mechaver, also b'chalosei. He can't have any hana from Shimon's coals, because that's his possession. That's something of value. Umutu b'shalava, so he can partake in his flame. A flame on its own has no value, has no meaning. So we see this difference between a gacheles, something of substance, something that endures, as opposed to shalheves, which is just something fleeting, has no kiyum. We have five applications of this halach. We do find one differentiation between hegdish, where we say that you're not meant to partake even in a shalheves of hekdesh. So me'ila only applies to the gacheles and not to the shalheves, which has no real substance. But still, midrabbani should not go ahead and partake in the shalheves of hekdesh. That's by hekdesh. As opposed to avodah zarah, we don't have that restriction. A gacheles is aser, but shalheves is completely mutter. Without any hesitation, even midrabbanon, we allow you to partake in a shalheves of avodah zarah. Why this difference between hekdesh and avodah zarah? Ma'ishna shalheves avodah zarah d'sharia. Why is it? A flame that belongs to avodah zarah is completely mutter. Ma'ishna dehekdesh d'asira. A flame that belongs to hekdesh is aser midrabbanon. Why the difference? Answers the Gemara. Avodah zarah d'me'isa, because avodah zarah, which is something naturally repulsive to a Jew, ubdila in shimina, and people just naturally are inclined to staying away from avodah zarah. Like gazru barabbanon, Chacham didn't see a need to make a gzera for concern that one thing might lead to the other. People are naturally inclined to keep away, and therefore, go ahead and enjoy the flame. It's not going to lead a person to go further and enjoy something of substance, which he naturally keeps away from, as opposed to hekdesh d'loy mos. Hekdesh is not something repulsive, chas v'shalom. V'loy bedili in shiminoi, and relatively speaking, relative to avodah zarah, people don't stay away as much from hekdesh as they do from avodah zarah. So over there, there's a real concern that if you partake in the shalheves, although technically mutter, but that might lead to partaking in something that has more significance, like the gacheles. One thing might lead to the next. And therefore, gozu be rabban, rabban said, you know what, keep away even from the shalheves. Hamoitzi gacheles, lushus rabban chayiv, the shalheves potter. So when it comes to carrying, we say, shalheves, no problem. A gacheles is considered an item, an object, in which case if he carries it out, he's chayiv. But Tanya, we have a brisa which indicates otherwise. Hamoitzi shalheves kol shu chayiv. If he carries out just a flame, he's chayiv. In our Mishnah, we say potter. Omer av sheshes. It's a different case. Ki goyin sheyitziyoy bekesem. The brisa is speaking that the flame is feeding off a spindle, a splinter of wood. And therefore, in that case, we treat the shalheves as something of value. The fact that it's attached to a solid piece of wood, although it's a small piece of wood, which doesn't really have its own inherent significance, we're going to see soon, it doesn't even have a shiur for chiyuv hayitzah. But since the flame is not just a free-flying fireball, which is going to go out in a second, it's attached to some sort of splinter, that gives it chashivas, in which case, if he carries out the flame, he's chayiv. Says Rashi, off to the right. Since it's attached to something tangible, it gives it chashivas, even though it's just a kolshu. Umasizin the tani potter, as opposed to our Mishnah, which says that carrying a flame is potter, kiduk minon lekamon, as the Gemara soon will tell us, it was speaking when there is no splinter attached. But the adia duye, he just simply tossed the flame on its own. There was something burning near Shesaram, and he gave a flick with his hand. He detached some flame and went flying into the street. So it's a flame without any roots, and therefore it has no chashivas, has no substance, and he's potter. Let's go back to the Gemara. So the Braisa, which says Shalheves is chayiv, is speaking when it's attached to something. Well, then why isn't he chayiv because of that piece of wood? Skip the shalheves. The wood itself is enough reason for chayiv. But typically, mishum kesam. Why can't he be chayiv on account of the splinter of wood? Why does the Braisa say he's chayiv because he carried out the shalheves? Shalheves is attached to a splinter. Well, he's chayiv because of the splinter, even without a shalheves attached to it. But then lesle shiura, was speaking that it's a small enough splinter that doesn't really meet the minimum, it doesn't pass the minimum threshold, the required amount, the shear for malach on Shabbos, the snan, amaitzi eitzim. What's the shear of carrying wood in the street on Shabbos? Kedei levashel beitzakala, enough to cook up the easily cooked egg, which is a hen's egg. A small splinter doesn't supply that service, and therefore it's less than the shiur. The only reason why it's chayiv is because of the shalheves, which is attached to that kesem. That shalheves has now has chashivus, because it's attached to something solid. He's not chayiv on account of the wood, but on account of the shalheves, he's chayiv. Abaye Amar, he has a different pshat. A small splinter, perhaps that doesn't do. Rather, we're speaking, he's going to shayfe mana, he smeared the kli, mishcha with oil. So he coated the kli with oil, the itle beinura, and he attached a flame to it. So that's why the flame is considered something tangible, because it's attached to a kli. Not just a splinter, a kli. V'tepikli mishumana. Well, then he's chayv because of the kli. Skip the flame. The kli itself is enough reason for chayv. B'chaspa, a broken kli, a shard of pottery, which doesn't give him chayv. He's chayv because of the flame that's attached to it. V'tepikli mishumchaspa. What do you mean? Even a shard of pottery has chayv. The less the shiur, less than the required shiur. It's none. Cheres. What is the shiur of cheres for hitzah Shabbos? To fill up the gap in the window frame, patsam are the pieces of wood surrounding the window frame. So he's going to fill the gap inside the wood there with some cheres. Tivir Rabbi Yehuda, that's the minimum shear of chashivas for cheres on Shabbos. And he was speaking that it's small than that. There's no chiv on account of the cheres, rather only on account of the flame which is attached to the cheres. So that explains the brisa, which tells us that if one carries a shalevis into the street, it's chayiv. We're speaking not about a free-flying flame, a fireball, rather it's attached to something, either a splinter or a piece of cheres. Elohad desnan. Okay, so then what about our Mishnah, which says, Hamoitzi shalevis potter? When one carries a flame into the street, it's potter. Heichi mishkach aslan. What is that speaking about? Why is he potter? Kigoin de adye aduye lusha suram. As Rashi explained for us, there was a fire burning, and he took his hand and he struck the flame and he detached a piece of shalheves, created some sort of flying fireball. Adi adui, he tossed it. He shoved it into the street, just the flame without anything else. That's not considered something that has kiyum. It's not something that lasts. It's just a fleeting flame, and therefore, there's no chiv for itzo on Shabbos. So in conclusion, a gachelas has substance, a shalheves does not. We have five applications for this distinction. Number one, tuchumen. Number two, hoitzo'o on Shabbos. Number three, gachelas shel hegdish. Number four, gachelas lavi dezora. And muder hanoa mechaveir. The Gemara does make a distinction between a shalheves on its own, where there's no chiv hoitzo'o on Shabbos, as opposed where it's connected to something, a piece of wood or a cheres, where it has chashivas, and therefore there's a chiv hoitzo'o on Shabbos. Another chiluk we see between a shalheves of hegdish, where it's completely mutter, it's asur, midrabanan, whereas by avodah zarah we're not concerned it's mutter completely, because avodah zarah is something that people are inclined to keep away from. It's not going to lead to anything more serious. Continues the Mishnah. We're going to have three different types of wells or water storage facilities. A bar shel yachid, it belongs to an individual, privately owned bar. We have something which is a communal bar, owned by the community at large, a city's bar. So it's sort of a partnership between all the members of that city. We have something called Oily Bavel, which is not individually owned, nor is it something that belongs to the city. It's something which was built by the Oily Bavel, the Yidden who would come up from Bavel to the Beis HaMikdash, and they built these wells or these water holes along the road, which would supply the wayfarers with their water supply. It's sort of a public entity. It doesn't really belong to me or you. It's something which was meant to serve Klal Yisrael at large. And each one of these bayreis has its own halacha, its own category regarding tchumen. Says the Mishnah, bar shel yachid, my private bar, an individually owned bar, Kiragli Ayochet. Its water is bound by the tchum of its owner. It's my water. V'shalanshi oseir. What about water drawn from a public well belonging to the community, to the city? Kiragli anshi oseir. That water has to be kept within the city's boundaries, meaning within 2,000 amma of either side of the city, because it belongs to the members of the city, it serves the city, and it's bound by the tchum of the city. Third category, v'shel oily bubble, water drawn from a burr, which was put in place by the oily bubble to serve the community at large, kiragli mamali. There we say, water drawn from that burr is bound by the tchum of the one who filled the water. Let's go down to Rashi. It's going to be the sixth wide line. Masnis, kiragli hayochet. So a private bar follows his tchum. Ein malichin ha-mayim el kiragli b'alabar. The water can be taken only as far as he can go. If it's a city's facility, kiragli oseir, apayim l'chol ruch, chutz liboreh. So you have the Iburair, right? You have the 70 Amma plus, that's considered the municipal boundary of the city, and then 2,000 Amma past that. A third case is Vishaloili Bavel. Hasurin lo Ivre Drachim was meant for the travelers, Bemsad Derech, but also Bnei Agoilo, Lishtes Baloisim. So that water is considered public water. Kiragli Hamamali. Why? Bnei Shu Hefker. It's ownerless. Vehefker Nikni Bagvo. And when one picks up Hefker, he's Kaina and becomes his. So it's bound by his own personal tchum. Let's say somebody approaches this fellow who already filled water, and he borrows some water. That water is bound by the filler's tchum, not by the recipient. He can only take it as far as the filler can walk, because it's been committed and bound to his tchum once he filled it and was zoich in that water. We don't say the water itself has its own boundary. But lastly, the Rabbi Yechanan, the Amar Chavtze Hefke Kone Shvisa, La'atzma M'Koyman. We mentioned this yesterday briefly. Reich Menuri holds that even ownerless objects acquire their own tchum. We don't say that. This Mishnah doesn't follow that Shita. And therefore, this water at this point, until it's filled, is considered ownerless, tchumless, boundaryless, and only when it's filled into one's bucket, he is Zoich, and then it's incorporated into his possession, so to speak, and is bound by his tchum. Oh, asks Rashi Akasha, well, if Hefker is not koine shvisa, doesn't acquire its own tchum, chitemim kein havali lameim harei kiragli kolodim. Why does the Mishnah say that the water in this oily bovel pit follows the boundary of the one who filled that water? What do you mean? Even if I fill that water, and then I give it to somebody else, let that person take it wherever he can go. Why is it bound by my tchum? It's not my water. During Ben HaShemashis, right, which is the entry point of Yom Tov, when Dine Tchum get established, was it mine? No, sitting in the pit, which is Hefker. So although I filled some water on Yom Tov, why is it bound by my tchum? V'amayk toni kiragli l'mali. And says Rashi, k'sovi yish breder l'hachmer. We apply Breira L'chumra. And we say, Huvra D'me'esmoil, Namri Huvra D'lahai Gav R'chazu, U'b'shusei Kaimi. U'b'eiv Namri D'loikar B'yecham Nur Metukum. So Rashi, interesting point. We apply Breira L'chumra. Although I didn't have possession of this water yesterday during Ben HaShemashis, I only got it today. We say, look, you fill this water today, it's been verified and confirmed. This water was meant for you all along. In which case, retroactively, this water was incorporated into your possessions. It's considered like your belonging. In which case, during Ben HaShemashis, we treated it as yours, even though we didn't know. It's lafrei, it applies retroactively. Therefore, the one who fills that water, he's zoich in it. We consider it as though it was his all along, it was meant for him. And therefore, it has his shvisa and his tchum. If he hands it to somebody else, that person has to be careful to keep the water within the boundary of the original filler. Continues the Gemara. Ramile Ravel Rav Nachman. Here's the Kasha to Rav Nachman. We learn in the Mishnah that water in a pit, in a well, in a spring, has dinim of tchum. But listen to this Mishnah, Tanan. Bar shel yochad ki ragla yochad. Okay, right, our Mishnah. Right, an individual's bar is bound by his tchum. Listen to this price of Raminu. Naharas ha-moishchen. Flowing rivers. V'mayonas ha-noivin. Flowing springs. Since they're moving around, they're constantly on the move. They're not koine shvisa. They don't get a boundary on Shabbos. Something which is stationary. During Ben HaShemoshes, that Mokim is considered his Shabbos residence, in which case, he's limited to 2,000 Amah, neither direction. But water, which is constantly flowing, it's running, it's on the move. It's not Koine Shvisa, Harihin Kiragli Kaladim. Whoever takes that water, takes it wherever he wants. There's no Din Shvisa or Tchum by water. It doesn't have its own inherent territory. In our Mishnah, we say the opposite. We say that water in a well, in a pit, in a whatever it is bound by Tchum. Omar, Rabbah, we're speaking about a different case. Hochib Mayaskina, the Mishnah is speaking about B'mechurnosin. The water is contained in its place. It's stationary. It's not flowing or running. And therefore, it has tchum. As opposed to that brisa, the horas ha-moishchen, mayonos ha-noivin, they're flowing, they're running. And therefore, they don't have tchum. Vitmanami, we learned likewise. Amar b'chir b'rabban amar shmo b'mchunosin. Amish is speaking about water which is contained in its place and stationary. So we had bar shel yachid, which is bound by its owner's tchum. We had a bar which belonged to the city at large, that's bound by the city's tchum. Third category was Vishal Oili Babel, as Rashi explained for us, built by the people from Babel on the way up to Eretz Yisrael, so that the travelers to Eretz Yisrael will have what to drink. Now, it's interesting, Shiloh. How do we treat this bar? Is it Hefker? Ownerless? Awaiting Kinyan? Or do we say the people who built it had everybody in mind? It's as though the entire Klal Yisrael are partners in this bar. So is it Hefker or is it Shutfin? We have Machlekes. Says in Mav Shloili Bavel Karagla Memale. Itmar Milei Venosn Chaver. Reuven drew from this bar and he handed it to his friend. So Shimon approached Reuven. Could he fill some water on my behalf from this bar Shloili Bavel? Reuven complied, filled water, and handed it to Shimon. It so happens that Reuven made an error in one direction. Shimon was meant to go in the other direction. They had different boundaries for this Yom Tov. This water is bound by whose boundary? Reuven's or Shimon's? Reuven who filled it, or Shimon who actually received it? And it was meant for him. Rav Nachman Omar Kiragli Mishin Ismaluloi. This water is bound by the tchum of the recipient. Because I asked Reuven to do it for me. He's my shliach. It's my water. And it's bound by my tchum. Rav Sheshes Amar, no, kiragla memali. It follows the tchum of the filler of Reuven. Maika Miflgi, what's the point of the machlekes here? Mar sava beredef geru. Rav Sheshes hold, it's hefker. It's ownerless. Which case, when Reuven filled that water for Shimon, Shimon is not Zoyche. Rashi brings a Gemara in Bamatzia. You can't pick up a Matzia, a Hefker, a lost item for Shimon, because really you're disadvantaging other people. All right, you have to pick something up for Shimon. If you want to use it yourself, go ahead. Hefker is meant for you as well. But if you have no intention of being Zoyche for yourself, what right do you have to prefer Shimon over anybody else? So when you pick up the item for Shimon, Shimon is not Zoyche. Rather, Reuven, the filler, is Zoyche, and it's bound by his tchum. So if Sheshes holds, this bar is Hefker. And therefore, Reuven, the filler, is Zoyche. Umar Savar Beiru de Shutfihu. If Nachman holds, you're right, if it would be Hefker, then what right does Reuven have to go and pick something up for Shimon? It's not so. It's not Hefker. It's a Shutuf. We're all partners in the bar. So when Shimon approaches Reuben, could you fill me some water? In effect, what he's saying is, please be my shliach to draw water that belongs to me. In which case, the fellow who drew the water is not Zoyche. He handed it over to Shimon, who is the owner. And therefore, it's bound by the tchum of Shimon, the recipient. So bottom line is, according to Rav Nachman, it seems that this bur shel oily bubble is not considered ownerless and hefka, rather it's considered something jointly owned by all of Klal Yisrael. Here we have a kash. Esvei Rav and Rav Nachman, he has to make kash from the following halacha. Hareini lecha chirim. Chirim is a way of saying, I want to keep away from you. It's like a nether. So I consider myself a chirim on you, which means you can't benefit from me. Hamudar asr, the fellow on the receiving end of this declaration, may not benefit from the fellow who declared this declaration. Hari ata alai chirim, the other way around, you are a chirim on me, I don't want to partake from you. Hanedar asr, the fellow who declared this statement, he can't partake in Shimon's possessions. But Shimon can partake in Reuven's possessions. Right? I am committing to refrain from you. Harei ata alai chirim. I can't take from you, but you can take from me. Harei ni alecha. I am a chirim on you, meaning you can't partake from me. Va'ata alai, and I consider you chirim for me. Well, then they're both asr. Shnei masur zebazeh. They can't have any anah from each other. Okay, so Reuven can't partake in Shimon's possessions, and vice versa. But what? Yes, umutar mishal oidei bavel. They can go ahead and have anah from facilities that belong to the oidei bavel, which is neither Reuven's nor Shimon's. It's a public entity; it doesn't belong to either of them. Vasur mishal oisair, but they can't partake in facilities which were built, which belong to people in the city. Let's go to Rashi. On top, Harei ata alai chirim. So Reuven tells Shimon, you are a chirim on me. Explains Rashi, Yochik Amrle. What he means to say is, Harei mamoncha alai kestam charamim shem elbedek habayis. Your possessions are to me like a chirim which goes to bedek habayis, meaning off limits. Hilkach hanoider, the one who said this, asr lahanis v'shalamudu, he can't partake in Shimon's possessions. He can't transgress his commitment, his word. He has a right to do that. He can say, I'm not going to partake in your things. But if it's a two-way street, I can't have from you, and you can't have from me, then they're really stuck. They can't enjoy any of the local facilities, which are jointly owned by these two people, because in effect he's going to be benefiting from his fellow's possessions. But they can partake in something which is neither Reuven's nor Shimon's. Umurtar medvam shel oilei bavel. She'asu b'nei ha'goyla. Facilities put in place by the b'nei ha'goyla. Why is this different? It doesn't belong to either of them. Lefi she'ifkirim kol Yisrael. V'nasim lahem. It was rendered hefker. Ownerless. Anybody can enjoy it. V'loi li'esim shuspim boi. It wasn't meant as a partnership. When the Oyle Bava built this bar, let's say, what they had in mind is anybody could take it. They didn't have a mind to make it into a shutfas, a partnership, in which case, in the case of Mudar Hana, they can't enjoy that facility. No, it's hefker and available for anybody's access and use. However, things that belong to that city, like a shul, that they can't use. They change shushpin ben, because in reality they're partners in that facility. Each fellow has to keep away because he can't benefit from his friend's chelik in that facility. Continues the Gemara, three lines from the top. What are examples of public facilities, of things that belong to that city? What are things that are considered oile bavel, in which case is no concern because it's communal, it's Klal Yisrael, it's hefker. Harabayis, halishkois, the chambers of the Beis HaMikdash, vazoris, the open areas, other Beis Hamikdash, Ubar Shal Emtza HaDerech. Oh, here's the punchline. A bar in the middle of the road, that's the bar Shal Yubavah, which we mentioned in the Mishnah, is considered Hefker. And they can both use it. Okay, we'll get back to this in a second. Continues the Halacha, Ve'elohein Shal Oysoir. Give me examples of things that belong to that city. HaRachayiv, the town square, Beis HaKnesses, the shul, Beis HaMerchos, the bathhouse. So both parties have a chelik, have an interest in these facilities, and therefore they have to keep away. But what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that a boyer shall emtza derech, a boyer built middle of the road by the Oyle Bavel, is mutter, is accessible to both parties. What do you mean? Vi amrus biro deshut fiyu, koter of nach. We treat it like a partnership. A boyer shall Oyle Bavel belongs to everybody equally. I'm my mutter. So what's the heter here? Why is it different than a shul, than a bathhouse? Tanan, we go to the Mishnah. Hashot v'shenadru hanoza mizeh. Reuben and Shimon, who are partners in a property, in a chatzur. And they got into a fight, they made a nether. We're going to keep away from each other's properties. Asurim likonas l'chatzur. Either one of them, Reuben or Shimon, have to keep out of the chatzur. Because in effect, he's using his partner's portion. Okay, so how can the people here who made a nether on each other enjoy the boyer shall boyle bavel if you consider it to be something of a partnership, something that belongs, something that's jointly owned by all of Israel? Well, they can't partake in it. Answers the Gemara. It depends what they're using the boyer for. Lirchot bebar. Hachanami, the Bach adds. Hachanami. They're trying to rinse themselves in the burr, in which case they're using the entire burr. They're benefiting from everything in there. Then you're right. 100% right. They can't do that because I'm benefiting, I'm enjoying from the other fellow's chelik. So of course the burr shall above us consider shutfis. And therefore if two people have a nether from each other, neither one can rinse themselves in this bar. When the Mishnah says that they can enjoy this bar, it's speaking about filling water, drawing water from this bar. It's very different. I'm not using the whole bar. I'm not using the entire water supply. I'm just taking a pail. That's my portion. It belongs to me. I don't take anything from you. Marmi did they come in Mali? Reuben is drawing his water. Shimon is drawing his portion. And therefore they're allowed to do that. So bottom line is, this bar shall oile bavel, this bar shall emtza derech, is considered a jointly owned entity. And therefore, if Nachman tells us that if Reuben was asked by Shimon to draw him some water, and he gives it to Shimon, whose tchum is this water bound by Shimon? Because he took his portion of that water. It's his. It's a shotfis. I got my portion, and it's bound by my tchum. Right? That explains Rav Nachman on Amar Aleph. When the Mishnah tells us, two people in a fight, two people that made a nether from each other, can partake in this bor shel emtza derech, was speaking that they're trying to draw water. So again, each fellow can say, I'm taking my water. No problem. But when we say that something which belongs to partners, like a chatzur, cannot be used by either partner, how does that apply to a bar when they're trying to rinse in the bar, trying to bathe in the bar, in which case they're using the entire water supply of that bar, inevitably I'm going to be using yours, and that's us. Explains Rashi. It's around 6-7 lines from our position in the Gemara. Here's the difference between drawing water, in which case I'm drawing mine and not yours, as opposed to bathing in that bar. We can't say that each individual can use the bar for whatever he needs. Going later to go down and bathe in it. No, of course not. It's a jointly owned bar, and I'm benefiting from your part. When then was there a heter? L'malis meim avitiru. That's regarding drawing water from that bar. That's mutter. The samchina breira. We apply breira here. I'm reading. We say mar midide kama malay. Listen to this lashon. Reuven is drawing his water. Maim shalva bekadoi. The water that showed up in his pail. Hein hamevuvlorin min hashemayim lechelkoi. It's basheret hashkacha pratis. Why did I end up with this water? It was predestined by Hashem, pre-planned. This was designated for me. This was mine all along. It was my chelik all along. I wasn't taken from you at all. Continues the Gemara. So basically we're saying that Rav Nachman is based on Breira. The sover of Nachman is Breira. Is that true? We're going to find in a different halach that apparently Rav Nachman does not hold of Breira, in which case this whole arrangement wouldn't work. Vatran. Ha'achin ha'shutfin. Okay, so a short introduction. We know that maser behema, which means separating a tenth of your animals as designating as a curb, maser behema, only applies to privately owned animals. But if it's a shutfas, a partnership, then it's pata from maser behema. Number two, regarding machzis ha'shekel. So when you bring a machzis ha'shekel, you have to add a kulbein. Kulbein is lashon of kul, kal, to say light, a small added coin as a service fee. Rashi explains there were expenses involved in upgrading the coins, transferring the coin to bigger coins. So Hegdish would experience some loss, and they would have to add, every individual, when he brings a machzis ha'shekel, he has to add a service fee, a kulbein. But we have some exceptions. Suppose a father is a nice fellow, and he'd like to be mighty machzis ha'shekel for his children. So he pays on their behalf. We give him a discount. He doesn't have to give the kulbein. He has to give only one. He doesn't have to give one per child. Whatever it is, he gets a discount. Now, suppose two brothers inherited their father's possessions, his animals, his money. Then they separated. They split apart the possessions, and they rejoined. They formed a new partnership. So what happens when it comes to Maser Behemah? What happens when it comes to Kulbein? So it looks like this. If they haven't yet split apart the assets, that's called Tfisas Habayis. We regard it as their father's estate. Interesting concept. Even though the father's no longer here. Since they didn't really tinker with their possessions, they didn't really disrupt the arrangement. It's just the way it is. As when the father died, those possessions are considered like the father's estate. In which case we say like this, when it comes to Maser Behemah, of course, there's a Chiyuv Maser Behemah because it's individually owned. It's not a partnership. It's Tfisas Habayis. It's their father's estate. But when it comes to Kulbein, since they're taking their father's money, so to speak, and applying it to the Machzis HaShekel, it's as though their father is giving on their behalf, there's no Kulbein. So that's when it's still in their father's estate. But let's say they split apart the assets. Reuven took his part, Shimon took his part. Then they decided, you know what? Let's make friends. Let's rejoin. They repartnered. They became a shutf. So now the halacha switches around. With respect to Maser Behemah, they're potter, shutf and apotter. With respect to Kulbein, to use that money to pay the Machzis HaShekel, they're chayv and Kulbein. Because there's no ptur of shutfin by Kulbein. It's their own private possession, their own private money. It's no longer regarded as their father's money. When the father gives on behalf of his children, he's potter from Kulbein. But in this case, they already disrupted the assets. They disrupted the estate. They divvied up, and then they repartnered. It's their own private money, they're chayv and Kulbein. Says the Mishnah, Atnan ha'achan ha'shutin, brothers who happen to be partners, k'shechayavim b'kolbein, in the case where they divvied up the nechasim and partner together, it's no longer their father giving machzis ha'shekel on their behalf, it's their own money, they're chayavim kolbein, p'turin maser behemah, then they're exempt from maser behemah because a partner is part of a maser behemah. U'k'shechayavim maser behemah. Suppose they have not yet split apart the assets. It's still their father's estate. It's not a shutfas, the chayavim maser behemah. In that case, the pata from Kobin, it's as though the father is giving on their behalf. So that's the Mishnah. V'amar Rav Anan explained, Lo Yishanu. When do we say that once they divide and then partner together, it's considered an ordinary partnership? All depends how they divided the assets. Ela shecholku gedoyim keneged tlaim. He took some goats, he took some lambs. Utlaim keneged gedoyim. He took some lambs instead of the goats. So it was sort of an uneven split. Because really, each one's entitled to half goats and half lambs. They decided, you know, I like goats better, I'll take everything. You take all the lambs. So there was sort of an exchange that took place. In which case we say, the father's estate has been disrupted. And now when they rejoin together as partners, it's considered a new partnership. But if they split things evenly, right down the line, right down the middle. He took five goats. Utlaim, kenegatlaim, lambs, keneged lambs, each took five lambs. Oimer, then we say, there was no disruption of the estate whatsoever. Zeu chalkoi, hamagioi, mishar rishani lakach. Each fellow's portion, each brother's portion, was the chalik that was coming to him from day one. Because each fellow is entitled to half of the lambs and half of the goats. So when they walked away with half and half, they didn't really disrupt the Yerusha. So then when they repartner, they come back together and join as Shutfim, it's back to square one. It's as though they reinstated the estate. So when they decided to divide it according to their liking, he took all the goats, he took all the lambs, then they've disrupted the estate, created a new entity. In which case, since that transaction took place, exchange these animals for those, it no longer relates back to the estate. And then when they decide to rejoin as partners, it's a new partnership, it's a new entity. But if each fellow only walked away with the portion which was rightfully his, he took it as a Yerusha. There was no transaction that took place, no exchange, no commercial activities. There was just Yerusha. I took my five goats, he took his five goats. I took my five tulaim, and so did he. So they're just tapping into the zuchus of Yerusha, in which case they decide to rejoin as partners. We treat it as though the Yerusha has been reinstated. The estate, their father's estate, has been reinstated. And it has all the halachas of a father's estate. It's not a shutfus. Chiv of Maser Behema is intact. And since it's the father's estate, it's as though he is paying Maser Shekel on their behalf, and he's part of from Kolba. So that's Rav Anan's opinion. If it's split equally down the line, we assume I got my portion, and he got portion which was rightfully his. Rav Nachman Omar, he says no. Even in this case, we say that the estate has been disrupted. Even if they split the goats equally, five against five, utlaim keneged tlaim, lambs equally, five against five. Ein oimer, we don't say ze chelkoi hamagiyoi, that the portion that arrived into his possession is the chelk that's deserving, that's coming to him mishor rishon lakach from day one. No. You never know. Maybe he has a goat that should have gone to his brother, and his brother has a goat that should have gone to him. They made an exchange. We don't say Breira. We can't say, well, we've now verified and confirmed that this must have been yours all along. We have no right to say that. We have to speculate that there were some transactions that took place here, some exchanges. Even though they split the goats and lambs straight down the middle. It's pretty clear from here. Rav Nachman does not hold of Breira. And this won't work with our Gemara earlier. Right? We said earlier that according to Rav Nachman, the Bor Shel Oile Bavel, which was built to benefit all of Israel, is considered, in essence, a partnership. And therefore, when we have Reuven and Shimon that got into a fight, they don't want to have enough from each other. They can still draw water from this well because, although when it comes to bathing, in which case you're enjoying the entire facility, you can't because I'm partaking in my friend's chelek. But drawing water, Rashi says, Mena Shamayim, it's Bashert. Whatever I took was mine. Whatever you took was meant for you. And likewise, in the case regarding Tchumen, we said, if Reuven draws some water for Shimon, whose Tchum is that water bound by Shimon? Because he's a partner in the bar. And Shimon made Reuven a shliach. Get me my water out of that butter. And it's my water. And therefore it's bound by my tchum. This only works if we apply Brera. Otherwise, how do you know it's really his? Brera tells you, yeah, you can rightfully assume whatever ended up in his possession was meant for him, was his portion of that butter. And here Rav Nachman says, ain't Brera when it comes to the brothers who split apart the assets of the Yerusha. Elo says, the more you're right. It must be that the boyer shalom, the bubble, is not considered a partnership. It's not considered a shutfus. The kuli alma beirodif geri. Everybody agrees this boyer is hefker, it's ownerless. That explains why the two fellows who are usher to have enough from each other can use this boyer shalom, the bubble. It's hefker. It doesn't belong to him or to him. So what then is the discussion? What is the reason for Rav Nachman's halacha and Amar Aleph when it comes to Tchumen? We say that when Reuben fills for Shimon, it assumes Shimon's Tchum, as Rav Nachman, and Rav Sheshes holds, it assumes Reuben's Tchum, the one who filled the water. What's the point of Machlekes? Question is, when Reuben picks up a Mitziah, he finds something in the street and he picks it up for Shimon. That's the question. Who's Zaycha? Marasav Arkana. Rav Nachman holds that the one who picks it up is Kaina. He picked it up, he's Kaina. And therefore, it's bound by his Tchum. Marasav Alay Kaina. Rav Nachman holds, no. But although Reuven picked up the Metziah, in this case, he drew water, but since he did it for me, he didn't have a mind to be Kaina. He gives it to me, I'm Kaina. So Shimon is Kaina, and it's bound by his Tchum. So all agree the water is Hefker, and therefore two people who are mudar hanof from each other can enjoy that water. Without Brera, it's Hefker. It doesn't belong to you or to me. When it comes to Tchumen, it's a side point, side question. Do we say the one who filled it is Kaina? Or do we say no, he didn't have a mind to be Kaina, rather he gave it to Shimon to be Kaina, and therefore it's bound by Shimon's Tchum. Taisus asks on this pshat of Rashi, he says, why would Rav Sheshes hold that the Mamali, the one who filled the water, is Zaycha? He's not interested in being Zaycha. He's giving it to Shimon. Why would he have an interest in being Zaycha in Shimon's water? So because of that, Kasha, Taisa has a different pshat in the Gemara. He says, I mentioned this earlier, there's a machlokes, there's a discussion in the Gemara in Bava Metzia. If Shimon notices something lying on the floor, Metzia, he turns to Reuven, he says, you know what? Let me have it. Or rather like this. Reuven sees a Metziah in the street and decides to pick it up for Shimon. Okay? Can he do that? So really, he's disadvantaging other people. What right do you have to grab something for your friend at the expense of other people? So halacha is you can't. Psak halacha is you can't. You can't do that. You have no right to be zeicha in something for your friend, if it's putting other people at a disadvantage. However, in this case, perhaps it's different. That's the shaila. In this case, we have lots of water in this well. Should we apply the same concept of Metziah and say, look, you have no right to be zeicha for Shimon. It's hefker. Leave it accessible for other people. Who says you have a right to fill water for Shimon? So that's the svara of Rav Sheshes. Shimon is not Zeich. Reuven could be Zeich. And it's bound by his tchum, but not Shimon. You have no right to be Zeich and water for Shimon. Rav Nachman disagrees. He says, here it's different. Generally speaking, I agree. You have a $100 bill on the street. It's $100 bill. What right do you have to grab it for your friend? If you want to use it for yourself, but you have no right to be Zeich for Shimon at the expense of other people. Because it's $100 bill. But in this case, where Rashi Taisus says, Ikav harbe mayim. Plenty of water in the pit. Many people can come and fill. Here it's different. Says Rav Nachman, here it's different. Here you have a right to be zeich for Shimon. I'm not really disadvantaging other people. And therefore, if I fill water, if I draw water for the sake of Shimon, Shimon is zeich in that water, and it's bound by his tchum. So that's the conclusion of the Gemara. A bar shalom, the bubble, according to all shittas, is hefker. The question is, when Reuven fills for Shimon, who's the one that's zeicher? Reuven, and it's bound by his tchum, or Shimon, and it's bound by his tchum? So what did we learn today? We started with the distinction between a gacheles and a shalheves, with five applications. A gacheles, a kol, is bound by its owner's tchum, but not a shalheves. When it comes to hoitzah on Shabbos, carrying a gacheles into the street is chayv, something tangible, something that lasts, as opposed to shalheves, where it's pater. Unless the shalheves is attached to something tangible, like a piece of wood or a piece of cheres. One may not have enough from a gacheles of hegdish, but a minatoyer is meila. From the shalheves, there's no iser minatoyer, but only with the rabbanim. By Avodah Zarah, we say the gacheles is aser, and the shalheves is completely mutter, because people keep away from Avodah Zarah regardless. And finally, mutter hano, he can't have enough from Shimon. So he can't take his echelas, but he can benefit from his shalheves. In the next sugi, we had three categories of boiris, of wells, of water pits. A boir shal yachid, individually owned, in which case the water is bound by his tchum. A boir shal oiso ha'ir, belonging to the city, that's considered a shutfus, and is bound by the city's tchum. The boir shal oili bavel is considered hefger, and is up to the individual filler. So this applies to Tchumen. We had another application as well regarding Mudur Hanoah. So if Reuven cannot have Hanoah from Shimon's property, he can't take water from his bar, nor can he have Hanoah from the bar of that city, because they both have a chelik. They're both shutfen in the city's facilities. But when it comes to Bar Shalali Bavel, which is Hefker, it's neither mine nor yours that allows us to have Hanoah from that water supply. All the best to you and much atzlach.